report. The gentleman who has been a citizen journalist longer than that phrase has been in existence, a man whose research and investigative work product I respect, a guy who knows, who's got his finger on the pulse of what's taking place domestically, geopolitically, and a gentleman that's got some of the most precious, in my view, resources, including the Matrix Revealed package. If you go to nomorefakenews.com, that's nomorefakenews.com, the real news, John Rappaport. Folks, take advantage of the information that's contained on that website, and also the Matrix Revealed, what a product, as well as all of the products, including Escape from the or Exit from the Matrix, Power outside the Matrix, and such. But the Matrix Revealed is one of the to me, that's like really a great package. John Rappaport is our guest. Going to get to him just in one moment. You know, we talked about things taking place, talked about preparation. One area that I think, folks, that you need to be prepared in, where you need to be prepared, is self-help remedies, such as, well, go to tradingpostinthewoods.com. That's tradingpostinthewoods.com. They have a simple survivals, American Heritage Remedies kit that they created just for our listeners. tradingpostinthewoods.com. If you are not prepared for any kind of, what would it be? Physical ailment, from the common cold to a sinus infection to, I mean, a cut, a wound, go to tradingpostinthewoods.com. Because if you're not prepared for that, you're really not prepared. You might have all the food and water and such, but Trading Post in the Woods has got some unique products. It's the old time Trading Post flavor, if you will. They've got some of the best. They've got the best products. They work. Go to tradingpostinthewoods.com and take advantage. American Heritage Remedies Kit, made especially for you, our listeners of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Again, tradingpostinthewoods.com, tradingpostinthewoods.com. Let's get right to John Rappaport, nomorefakenews.com. John Rappaport, glad to have you, sir.
Good to be here, as always.
I'll tell you something. The headlines are coming fast and furious. And North Korea, you had some observations. We were just discussing briefly during the break about North Korea. Something my wife said to me, and you can expand on this. She said, you know, don't you find it kind of funny? And how do you explain, for example, North Korea was kind of a quiet little, they were a nuisance, a pest, but all of a sudden, that whole thing has kind of exploded, pardon the pun. And we were kind of musing about about that whole situation. You said the same thing, and that kind of, I thought, wow, he must have been talking to my wife. What's going on here?
Yeah, that's a good question. All of a sudden, we have Syria, we have North Korea, crisis, ships heading there, a missile test, failure of the missile test. Is this an operation to try to trap Trump into crisis mode? Mm. Everything has to be solved now. It's all about, security of the United States by taking actions abroad. We saw what I consider to be a very dubious report out of Syria about the so-called chemical attack launched by President Assad and his own people. Made no sense to me. I wrote a piece this week about top 10 reasons to doubt that story, which became, of course, a pretext for Trump to suddenly launch a bunch of missiles at an abandoned runway and to up the tension, you know. And then, wait a minute, there's North Korea. Hold on, they're going to do a test too. Is that what this is? An attempt to, by neocons and so forth, to trap him into becoming a military president, wartime president, a crisis president, foreign interventions, et cetera, like many other presidents. So that's my first thought. We know from previous reports, there have been a couple of, more than a couple of odd reports in past years, let's say the last 6 or 7 years out of North Korea. One, that in televised parades showing their missiles, some analysts, including U.S. military analysts, have questioned whether or not these missiles are real or whether they're for show, whether they're mock-ups, whether they're old missiles that don't really work. That's perplexing and somewhat troubling. And then we had an incident, I'm going to say, 7 years ago where a North Korean ship was accused of sinking a South Korean ship with a torpedo. And again, some analysts looking at the torpedo that the North Koreans used decided that it wasn't really part of their stock, that it wasn't a North Korean torpedo. So again, we have these pieces of dubious evidence that have been presented to emphasize the dire threat of North Korea. Is this real? Or are we being drawn into a situation that does not require urgent military action?
You know, the sinking of the ship that you mentioned, I just want to remind people that happened in March of 2010. So it's been 7 years ago, 26th of March 2010. And that was, it claimed, I believe, I think 104 lives. And you're right, there were some issues with respect to that, some questions about that. Now, as to your comment about the missiles, the news footage showing that one Catawampus nose cone, I don't know whether you, I'm sure you saw that.
Right.
You know, so it does kind of make people wonder if they're just not paper mache type things, you know, mock-ups as you say, or if they're for real. And apparently, I don't know military armaments. Apparently, there were some questions as to the utility of those newer, never-before-seen missiles there, whether they were kind of Frankenstein missiles, if you will, made with different parts, and if they were even, you know, if they were even useful or could be used. So it's really interesting. You're right.
But, and on the gas attack in Syria, there have been some people that have kind of come out against what the administration and government is claiming. Recently, there was a Theodore Postol. He's an MIT expert, and he goes on to claim that the chemical weapons attack in Syria was staged, and he points to different pieces of evidence, starting with the areas of impact where they say that the chemical weapons were launched dropped from a plane. Well, he points to evidence of how it looked like they were already on the ground and were either hit with a... He even argues that it wasn't even a projectile from the plane, that somebody on the ground had to open these canisters from the way that it was done. And he was one of the first ones to point out in 2013 that the attacks, chemical weapons attacks, were not Assad, but instead the rebel forces, and that proved to be true. And he believes that Trump is being given faulty information when it comes to
Syria. In his first report, Postol, which I wrote about it, he said, look at the photo of this supposed canister of sarin gas in a crater. This was, you know, the recent episode. And he said, if you look at it, you can see that it's crushed from above as it's embedded there in the crater. So how did that happen? If you drop a canister out of a plane and it lands, why is it suddenly crushed from above? I mean, it's possible that it bounces and turns over and so forth, but it definitely raises a question if you look at that photo. Why is it shaped in the way that it is? And he, you know, as you point out, he goes on to analyze other aspects of this. I mean, certainly one of these is it looked like mainly through Russian action, that the war against ISIS, shall we call it, in Syria was winding down and ISIS was being defeated, and it was almost time for peace negotiations to take place. And this is the moment that Assad decides to actually, you know, lose every gain that he's made in the eyes of other nations by gassing his own people. I mean, this doesn't make any sense. But if you put it in the context of, well, there are people inside even Trump's administration, but certainly holdovers from many past administrations, and you've got military contractors, the military industrial complex, et cetera, who want war. They live off of war. That is what they need and what they want. It would certainly be in their best interests to provoke war and to block any negotiations that might create peace in Syria, especially if they would keep Assad in office and end the complete chaos that has been engulfing Syria. So you have that aspect of the whole thing. And to me, that provides us with yet another reason why the press has been so diabolical and insane for the last 6-12 months about attacking Russia. Not only to try to delegitimize Trump's presidency, but also because Russia was providing most of the support that was pointing toward an end of the war in Syria. And so Trump was talking about, well, you know, why don't I sit down with Putin? We'll talk about it. We'll help each other. We'll arrive at peace in Syria. This is the kind of thing that Trump was saying 4 or 5 months ago, 6 months ago. Now the tune has completely changed. Another reason to doubt this whole scenario in Syria.
Okay. And with respect to President Trump, is he... It almost seems schizophrenic in terms of his policy compared to what's going on with President Trump. I mean, is he being compromised? Is he giving into the weight of the military? Is there, what's going on with that?
Well, there are several possible scenarios, I would say. One is he has definitely been affected by all the generals around him that he's appointed. He's also been given intelligence reports, which of course every president is given on a daily basis. And instead of, you know, it's one thing to say, well, the CIA is lying when they say that I was cooperating in any way with Russia or that Putin influenced the election on my part. You know, he has criticized the intelligence community pretty solidly for quite some time now. But it's a different thing when these same people come into his office with charts and graphs and photos and reports saying a gas attack has suddenly occurred. And we know it was President Assad who did it. And this is the most heinous kind of thing. And you have to take action. Remember that Obama did not take decisive action, and you now have a chance to remedy that, and you must. Well, to stand up against that and say, you're all wrong, I want to see more evidence, you know, that's much harder for a president. This is the way a president gets trapped. And the result of that trapping, if that's what occurred, is that he has become schizophrenic now. He was going to be the peacetime president. He was going to build up military defense at home. No more foreign adventurism, no more U.S. empire, no more being the cop, the policeman for the world. He made that very clear during his campaign, and a whole lot of people voted for him on that basis, especially people who had once backed Ron Paul, who had maybe the most definitive statements of any American politician in the last, I don't know how many years, on the subject of, you know, this U.S. as the cop for the world. And now, Trump seems to have headed off in a different direction here. So that is, to me, schizoid. I mean, he has said that he has no plans to go in there with ground troops and get involved in a war after the initial missile attack. But he's also said that he reserves the right to attack Syria again. Planes. And there are reports that there are more troops on the ground in that area, U.S. troops. So it appears schizophrenic to me.
John, the Turkey issue, the change of the structure of the leadership in Turkey with Erdogan, making him essentially the dictator, the head of the parliament and everything in Turkey. How does that factor in here? Because one would think that, and correct me if I'm wrong, doesn't Turkey have its sights on Syria? Bringing it into, folding it into the caliphate that they're, the Ottoman Empire that they're trying to recreate. Does that have anything to do with anything, or is that kind of an outlier with respect to this conversation?
No, I think it might have something serious to do with this. I'm not certainly an expert on Turkey, but I agree with you that this could be involved. And of course, he is holding over the head of all of Europe the threat of exporting untold numbers of, quote, migrants, refugees, whatever you want to call them, into Europe if Europe doesn't play ball with him and do what he wants them to do. So this is like an ongoing piece of extortion, really, that he's working here.
Mm. Wow.
There are many moving parts here, because then Europe under threat is going to naturally appeal to the U.S. and say, you know, we have to get Assad out of there because the president of Turkey wants us to do that. You know,
yeah,
then,
there you,
you
go.
Know, everything is now interlocking. This is exactly, I mean, you can go back to the beginning of the Republic. This is what George Washington warned against in his farewell address. Avoid entangling foreign alliances.
Yep.
And he kept emphasizing that over and over, that no good will come from this. Only bad things can result. Once you stick your nose into these kinds of traps that nations set for each other, and you begin to take sides, it doesn't matter whether you say it's in the U.S. best interests or not. Nothing good can come of it, only misery and the sense of entanglement, which is exactly the way Washington put it. And this is what Trump, in his own way, was saying, we're not going to do this. This is not going to happen. We're not interested in globalism. We want to go back home. We want to stay at home. We want to be America. We want to be stronger, more prosperous, more jobs, more self-sufficiency, vet immigrants. No more open borders. We want to solve the infrastructure problem in America. We want to put people back to work, etc., etc. All nationalism, not globalism.
Mm.
And now, with North Korea, with Syria, and of course, with the political left and neocons and the mainstream press heaping praise on his head for the missile strike in Syria, now he's finally become president and all of that kind of rhetoric. We've reached a danger point early on here where Trump could become, as you say, a schizoid president.
Hmm. John, I got a question for you. With all this action Trump has been taking, you know, there was a lot in the news, much of it unfounded, before the chemical weapons attack and the Syria strike, from the Susan Rice unmasking story to the ramping up again of the Russian election hacking slash collusion slash whatever else, however else you want to title it. I mean, when the Susan Rice thing came out, they seemed to revert right back to the Russian story. And then all of a sudden, we have the chemical weapons attack, the Syrian strike, then it's been North Korea. We haven't heard anything else about Susan Rice. maybe some CNN, MSNBC mentions Russia here or there, or individual hosts do, but it's not a major storyline anymore. Do you think there's any possibility that maybe Trump took some actions to get the press off his back, change the narrative? Could he have made a deal saying, you know, I'll allow this to happen, or I'll okay this if you guys do this? What do you think happened with, as you said, the press has been heaping praise on Trump for his Syrian actions, which makes me very suspicious. But
yeah.
Do you think they worked something out or made some kind of deal? What happened there?
I don't know that they made a deal. I'm not sure I would go that far. But I agree with you that these latest, North Korea, Syria. Okay, the Susan May story suddenly disappears. In my experience, sometimes these operations are launched, at least in part, as a distraction from a story that's very uncomfortable for the mainstream press and for the government and so forth. And these operations, like we're seeing in Syria and North Korea, are overt attempts, or covert attempts, really, to take the attention of the public away from a very hot story that could be very damaging. And sometimes these crises, or fake crises, come from other avenues, other people, other vectors, and the press just uses them as an opportunity. Oh, let's drop the Susan Rice story. We don't care about that anymore. We never really did. That was all a hoax anyway. It's not important, so the word goes out to reporters, we're not interested in covering this anymore. We don't care. Because it really was a very hot story. I mean, they had her pinned to the wall.
Yeah.
With the idea that, we're not going to let you slip off the hook with this idea that it was incidental surveillance, that it really only incidentally caught up Trump associates talking on the phone with foreign leaders or people, you know, all of that. No, this was obviously exactly what Trump said it was, that the Obama administration were, quote, wiretapping him. That's what they were doing. That was the prize for them, was to get information during the campaign itself and in the transition between the election and the inauguration. So, to me, the press has used this opportunity, North Korea and Syria, to bury the Susan Rice story, never to be heard from again, unless something else pops up out of the hopper. But I agree with you. I mean, this was a story that was starting to develop real legs,
mm-hmm.
where the denials about her involvement even added fuel to the fire of how ridiculous it was to pretend that she didn't really have anything to do with this, when she obviously did.
The argument there, John, that I was seeing as it was developing before it disappeared was, well, even if she did do that with the unmasking, she didn't do anything wrong. It was in the best interest of the United States, and I find that pretty capricious.
Yeah, to say the least, because in the best interest of the United States, the press had reached the point where, to them, they were promoting the idea that if anybody connected with Trump was talking on the phone to anybody in another country, they were committing treason. You know,
right.
For any reason. It didn't have to explain it. Somebody from Russia was talking with somebody, you know, that's a Trumpist. Well, that's just proof that they're colluding and they're traitors and treasonous. I mean, it was building to that point. It was pretty much reached that point already. So the Susan Rice thing was just some extreme confirmation there. And you're absolutely right. The press was trying to emphasize, well, it doesn't matter how this was leaked and so forth. But the other part of that story was that she also leaked, or had other people leak for her, the names of the Trump associates on those phone calls to the press. Now, that's a felony.
Yeah.
That's because these are confidential intelligence reports. you can't, without some kind of national security justification, and even then, leaking the names to the press, that can get you jail time.
Yeah, unless, of course, you're Susan Rice or working under the umbrella of the Obama-Hillary camp, and then apparently no holds barred, everything goes. Interesting indeed. Joe?
John, we're coming up against our break. Folks, we're talking with John Rappaport of NoMoreFakeNews.com. That's NoMoreFakeNews.com. For those of you watching on YouTube, there is the screenshot or the live site of John Rappaport's site, NoMoreFakeNews.com. And we've covered a lot of ground, and he's going to be with us till the end of the hour, and we're going to be covering a lot more on the other side. It's definitely a very interesting time for news and news analysis, trying to decipher what is real, if anything, what's propaganda, you know, what's being placed there to distract. There's so much going on.
Oh, I want to ask him about freedom of speech, the free speech that's under attack coming out. And I really kind of want to get his idea on that, take on that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We should definitely go there because, you know, things are happening to our rights and our way of life while we're following all these other distractions and stories. And it's happening right under our nose, and sometimes we don't even get to cover it. Folks, we're talking with John Rappaport. We'll be back with John after these short messages. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric said.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Caring Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We are offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Armies kit. It contains 12 homeopathic armies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either. But they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues. And so can you. Check out our American Heritage Armies kit at www.trainpersonwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
back, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest is John Rappaport, the original citizen journalist before that phrase was even invented. He's got a background, 30 years, three decades of investigation and journalist experience. He is the really the gold standard by which other journalists, I think, are they aspire. Mr. Rappaport gets into the depths of the what's behind the headlines. NoMoreFakeNews.com is his website. Folks, before we get back to John, I just want to thank Ready Made Resources. Folks, have you gone to Ready Made Resources yet? Have you gone to their website? Night vision, all of the preparation equipment, the night vision equipment that they've got, the communication gear that they've got. They are the premier prep website. That's Ready Made Resources. And we heard from Robert Griswold here not too long ago. Folks, I would urge everyone to visit Ready Made Resources. That's readymaderesources.com. They've got, from there you can get onto their forums. I mean, what a resource, no pun intended, we have before us. And I just want to say thank you to Robert Griswold for all that he is providing our listeners. Visit Ready Made Resources on the internet. Just go to HagmanReport.com, click on the link. You know, John Rappaport, I just want to say thank you so much for your insight, analysis, and bringing forth the information. We were talking before the break about about Susan Rice and about what happened with her. You had mentioned during the break about Cheryl Atkinson, basically when incidental intel collection isn't really incidental, and what presidents can and can't do compared to what we're hearing on the in the mainstream media. Let's get into that a little bit based on your findings and such.
Yeah. Of course, Cheryl Atkinson was a star investigative reporter for CBS News for a number of years, and she resigned. Her computers, home and work, were being hacked. This was even acknowledged by CBS. They had independent investigators in there trying to figure out who was doing the hacking. And the evidence was pointing toward government entities, because she was covering very sensitive stories like Benghazi, Fast and Furious, the swine flu hoax of the CDC, and other stories. Anyway, I won't get into all of that, but she now has her independent website, Atkinson.com. She recently spoke, as she's written, with several reliable intel sources, U.S. intel sources. And one of the things they told her was, look, the president has the capability. We're not talking about what's legal and what isn't legal and so forth, but the president can order surveillance operations. And what's implied in these quotes is, and other types of operations, without anybody knowing about it, without using any of the court system to get warrants or anything. And he can enlist, so to speak, or appoint or get people, obviously from the intelligence community, to do these surveillance operations on anybody. And he can promise these people immunity from prosecution if the operation is ever discovered. And these people are permitted to lie and say that they were never involved in the operation, that all of this is understood up front. The implication being that presidents have done this and do this. This is not some sort of program, you know, or system or law that permits any of this. This is the way things are. Okay, which I found pretty compelling, rather astonishing to see it admitted finally. Because look at what a president can do. I mean, he can say national security, but it could be he wants revenge on somebody. He wants to advance his re-election chances or his own political party, he's committed a crime and he wants to cover it up. I mean, anything you can think of could be a reason to mount a serious surveillance operation. Well, what are we talking about in the Susan Rice case? We're talking about an obvious operation to spy on Trump associates during the campaign, during the transition period, to accumulate information that could be used against them, against Trump, against a Trump administration, that could be used to try to defeat Trump in the election. And this could have been authorized and initiated from the top of the food chain at that time, could have been by the president. Pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah, it is. And I have for how long we've been doing this, which is not that long, since 2011 on air, I have no doubt that this was from the president and up, request for one of two reasons. That, one thing that we didn't cover with the Trump and all the things that have been going on is his schizophrenia, if you will, is the blackmail subject. We hear a lot about how politicians are blackmailed by some of these intelligence agencies for things that they have done or made to appear to look like they have been involved in. And, that's one possibility why we could see the about face on Trump. There could be things that have been manufactured. There could be evidence that manufactured in a number of different ways. And he could be being blackmailed. At the same time, back to the ability of presidents to use this power from the NSA to the CIA, these intelligence agencies, for their own personal and personal political agendas is downright scary. And I think, for the last 20 years that we've crossed over into that, especially with Bill Clinton, at least this is, and I haven't really looked, back too far with administrations before that, but the Clinton body count is one thing that we talked about on the show a lot and have talked about a lot in the past. And when you look, maybe not all those are attributed to the Clintons, from the list, but there definitely is something there. And
oh yeah, I would agree for sure.
I mean, these people play for keeps, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So I don't know. It's a very troubling situation when you see what people who pose a threat by bringing the truth out are up against.
Yeah, and speaking of that, John, have you looked into the murder of Seth Rich at all in the context of the Hillary Clinton / DNC Clinton Foundation?
I haven't looked into it as deeply as I would have if I had more time and resources, but I certainly know a few things that I hope people understand. First of all, WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, offered a $20,000 reward for information leading to the person who killed Seth, mm-hmm. who was working for the Democratic National Committee. Why would Assange do that? To me, it's fairly obvious that he was one of WikiLeaks' sources. I don't know if he was the only source, but to me, it signals that he was one of the sources who was leaking the emails out of the DNC to WikiLeaks, who then published them. And given that that's the case, the fact that he was murdered and there was no theft.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me that this is called silencing somebody that we want to silence.
Exactly.
Retaliation.
Exactly.
I mean, that's where an investigation, a real investigation should go in that direction. I mean, it's, in the news business, finding a smoking gun, a real smoking gun, is not always possible. In sure. fact, many times it's not. You have to put together a circumstantial case. And in this situation, I would say the circumstantial case is certainly strong. And it certainly implies the need for a much deeper investigation here, because those leaks out of WikiLeaks were definitely damaging to Hillary Clinton. No question about it. And of course they were called hacks, not leaks. Oh, the Russians did it, and then they fed it to WikiLeaks, and WikiLeaks released it, and all of this kind of absurdity. When the obvious inference was, no, these were leaked by somebody on the inside. Somebody like Seth.
Exactly. And it's, I'm amazed. I shouldn't be amazed. I'm grateful that you're able to address, for example, the murder of Seth Rich. Folks, no notes. I mean, this is no script. I mean, this is just point blank, Q&A, so to speak. And it's great because this shows the investigative and journalistic prowess of our guest, John Rappaport. No more fake news. NoMoreFakeNews.com is his website. Visit his website, of course. Take advantage of the products that he has. The Matrix Revealed, my goodness. Exit from the Matrix. Great products, as well as additional products. Check them out. But, again, the man that's, I believe the original and grandfather of citizen journalism, John Rappaport. John, I know this is kind of going all over the place, but let me ask you one other question here, because I've gotten emails in the last couple of weeks, well, days really. The whole mess with Pedogate. I know 100% sure based on my sources. Look, this is 100% accurate. There's obvious, there exists smoking gun evidence in terms of, forensic computer evidence. I'll just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. The question is, why haven't there been any high profile arrests under Jeff Sessions to this point? Or should we just give him time? More time. And I'm saying high profile, not at the periphery, yeah. But high profile.
Yeah, I understand. Well, my take on this is, yeah, these networks are real, no question about it. Blowing it open, which is what would happen if you made a couple of arrests of high-profile people, really high-profile people. Now, it's like you planted dynamite inside a mountain and you just blew it up. Because it isn't going to stop there. Hmm. You know, it's like these cases, there have been a few of them, Washington, D.C., Madam,
yeah,
with her little black book.
Yep.
And all the high-profile Johns and all this and all this. Well, when do we get to see the black book? Somehow, with all of the stories and the roiling and the, oh, my God, and this and that, we never get to see the list of the Johns and the clients. Well, why? It's the same type of situation, because if that happened, then it just doesn't end. People start rolling over on each other. Well, I want to, you know, I'm not going to jail. This is something I can't, you know, I wouldn't survive in jail. Well, let's make a deal. Okay, whatever you need, whatever you want. All right, who else was involved? Well, Congressman so-and-so and Senator so-and-so and, you know, the publisher of this newspaper. So, whew, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. This is why, to me, the lid is kept on, and why I think it was, I'm going to try to remember here, was it William Colby who told John DeCamp, his friend?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Who wrote the Franklin cover-up, John, there's some things you just can't go any further with. DeCamp had exposed, I mean, talk about smoking guns, the Franklin cover-up. The satanic pedophile, whatever you want to call it, using children for sex and destruction by high-profile politicians and, you know, charities involved and so forth and so on, way before Penn State or Jerry Sandusky or any of that. DeCamp wrote the book on it, and he tried to get justice for the victims in Washington. There's a pretty good documentary that a British company did. You can find it on YouTube. And that, you know, eventually you run up against a brick wall. State legislature in Nebraska, in Washington, you know, the investigation gets to a certain point and then it just hits a brick wall. And Colby said to his friend John DeCamp, you know, there's just, you're going to have to accept it, John. You can't go any further with this. There are some things you cannot uncover completely. They will stop you. They will stop you. It won't happen. Because the people are so powerful who would be exposed that they can shut down an investigation. And the worst thing you want to have happen in a situation like that is to get caught and squeezed in the middle, where either you're a reporter or some kind of a press outlet or a government prosecutor, investigators who are trying to uncover the whole story, and you don't have enough backing and resources and protection, it's not going to happen.
So you're not, you don't see any promise in really getting forward movement on any prosecution of the more insidious satanic pedophilia type activities within the powers, within the halls of power. You're not optimistic, I take it.
I'm not, but I'm willing to think that the groundswell of commentary, research, and investigation that's happening in independent media about pedophile networks around the world could make something happen that's unprecedented and unpredictable. You never know. You just never know.
True.
That hasn't existed before. When John DeCamp wrote his book, I mean, he was just sitting out there alone with one or two investigators helping him, one of whom was murdered.
In the plane, right?
In the plane.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a PI. Yeah. You're right. Him and his son.
That's right. But now, you know, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of independent media operations going, and wonderful that there are, because now it's a whole new game. Nobody can say with finality, this is as far as this investigation is ever going to go. You never know. To me, this is one of the great wild cards, that the power structure in this country and other countries, you look at it and you say, boy, it's so interlocking, and one hand is washing the other, and you got the media and the government, and you got players above the government like the Trilateral Commission, etc., etc. And I mean, wow, how are you going to do any? And then all of a sudden, the internet is created. And lo and behold, thousands and thousands of people, as if they've had manuscripts, you know, sitting in their garage for decades, are suddenly publishing like crazy on the internet.
Yep.
Unstoppable flood of information. So that's a biggie to me.
And John, isn't it interesting? And this is kind of what I wanted to ask you. And we began the program this way. Isn't it interesting that just with the rise of the citizen journalists, and you had mentioned that so many out there exposing so much, and there's a lot of great citizen journalists that are doing a lot of independent research, publishing this information, then suddenly, as they are financing their research through revenue generating ads on YouTube, all of a sudden YouTube comes in at the behest of the Times of London and Washington, or Wall Street Journal. YouTube comes in and just wipes that revenue out completely. And so now we're seeing a censorship backdoor censorship. We're not going to, you know, where you are covering your expenses and growing and such, we're not going to allow that anymore. We're going to take that revenue stream from you, and we're seeing this happen today. I just find it not very coincidental when you look at, for example, Pedogate. You look at even your work And I, well, I say even your work, where you don't necessarily derive income or rely on income from YouTube, whereas other citizen journalists in that specific area do. I don't think this is by accident or coincidental, and I think it's going to get worse too in terms of the censorship.
Any so do I. That?
Okay.
Yeah. So do I. Absolutely. It's not, it's far from incidental. This is obviously an attempt to shut down these independent voices. The social media, you know, Google, Facebook, YouTube, et cetera, et cetera. It was right out in the open, I don't know, 5 months ago. Mainstream articles about this.
Yep.
The New York Times, Washington Post, the television news networks, et cetera, et cetera, were feeling, you know, their financial distress, which has been considerable as they've been losing viewers and losing readers and so forth, and debt piling up and so on. And they realized that more powerful than they were is social media. Social media has taken over from major media news. So the operation became, okay, well, we have to go to these people and get them to help us eliminate the competition, our competition, which is independent news. We've got to do that. For starters, there's other things we have to do, but we have to get the Facebooks, the YouTubes, the Googles, etc., to help us because they're more powerful now than we are, and so we want to enlist their help. Knock out the competition. Put us back on top again. And we'll preserve the consensus that we create every day, the fake consensus.
Wow.
And that's what's happening. I mean, so there's a one shot out of the box. Okay, so we're going to demonetize, as they say, all these YouTube videos. I did an interview recently, and somebody put up the YouTube video with my name in the title, and it was demonetized. You know,
yeah.
Just like,
oh, yeah,
that. And he has other YouTube videos that haven't been, and there's no particular pattern. He's had other people on his show 6 times, for example, one researcher, 3 of his YouTube videos demonetized, 3 others not. You got these people with their crazy algorithms and their word searches and who knows what else to try to figure out what do we want to demonetize. And so it's, in some cases, it's like scattershot. You don't know where it's going to land. In other cases, they target specific people specifically, but that's what they're doing.
In my experience, John, if it makes you feel any better or worse, in my experience, if your name is in the title, or in the tags, or even in the first line of the description, forget about it, to coin a phrase from the movie. Yeah, it's just not going to happen in terms of generating revenue. And that's the same with others, and I could name them off, but since you know we're talking at this point. So there is this aversion to truth, but so there's 2 reasons I'm hearing, a couple of reasons, or more than one. One is the revenue for the mainstream media, the old print media, as well as the television and radio media. And then, of course, there's the motivation to suppress the truth. So it's financial and, of course, content. Yeah. And I don't see this guy. You know what? I don't see this coming back at all. And you, I know you talked about this before. What Obama did with the internet, the ICANN registration and such, does that have anything to do with what we're seeing now? Is it more of a suppressed environment because of Obama letting go of the control of the ICANN registration?
You know, I haven't really delved into that too deeply, but from what little I know about it, I would say yes, that is one of the moves in the same direction that we're talking about here. Suffice to say, the amount of suppression would have to be extreme to shut down independent media on the internet, to really shut it down.
Sure.
Yeah, you can shut down some people by demonetizing them, shutting them off from revenue in various, you know, like YouTube and Google ads and so forth. But to actually say you can't have a website, you can't publish, you can't have a blog to thousands and thousands of independent reporters, investigators, that would really be stepping up the game if it came to that.
Yeah, and I'm not so sure we're going to see that anytime soon, but certainly there's the other aspect of lawfare. You know, hey, you publish this, we're just going to create a nuisance suit against you. I mean, that's one thing. And there are other tactics as well, but boy, I'll tell you, it was great to visit with the statesman, an elder statesman of citizen journalism.
It's always great to talk to you. Sometime I have to sit down on one of these shows and just interview you, because I know you are a fountain of information.
Oh, you're too kind, my friend. Hey, we're out of time. God bless you, my friend. Thank you so much for spending your time with us tonight, and God bless you. And you're going to be in our thoughts and prayers, and keep on.
Thank you so much. Right. It's always great to be here.
That was John Rappaport, NoMoreFakeNews.com. When we come back, Stan Deo from StanDeo.com will be with us. Don't go anywhere.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, DanielHoldings.com. That's DanielHoldings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to DanielHoldings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.